You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Friday, June 5, 2026. What's left? Commonwealth. Delfin LNG add to wave of U.S. projects. Are still more on the way? Published by Lindsay Schneider. The U.S. is at the tail end of an incredible wave of LNG expansion that has so far seen 9 new projects across 7 terminals reach a final investment decision, FID, in a little over a year. The two latest projects, Commonwealth LNG and Delfin FLNG, had been approaching the developmental finish line for some time. Commonwealth's green light should come as no surprise, while Delfin's was somewhat more unexpected. But more important than the individual projects, the overall scale of the build-out coming in the back half of this decade and into early next decade is staggering. The U.S. can export around 16.1 BCF per day of LNG today, with another 1.2 BCF per day of capacity ramping online, but capacity will be around 33 BCF per day by early next decade given the number of projects that have reached FID or are under construction. For reference, that's less than 3 BCF per day shy of total U.S. gas demand for power in 2025. In today's RBN blog, we take a closer look at this incredible wave of investment, the Commonwealth LNG project, and what comes next for U.S. LNG development. This latest round of commitments to U.S. LNG started out with a surprise. In late April 2025, Australia's Woodside Energy announced that it was moving forward with the 16.5 million tons per annum, 2.2 BCF per day, Louisiana LNG despite having almost no long-term sales for the project. See, I'm back in the LNG groove. Woodside decided to stick with the method it had used to develop its Australian projects, where it sold ownership interest to de-risk its investment, rather than conform to the typical development approach of U.S. builders, which relies heavily on long-term sales to underpin a project. That was soon followed by a Cheniere Energy FID on a small Corpus Christi expansion project in June and then Venture Global's FID of CP2 Phase 1 in July. Then, last fall, Sempra greenlit 2 additional trains at the under-construction Port Arthur LNG, and NextDecade also added 2 trains, Train 4 in September and Train 5 in November, to Rio Grande LNG in South Texas. Together, these projects will add more than 60 million tons per annum, or 8 BCF per day, of U.S. LNG capacity. As these projects were greenlit, there was concern that there was too much build-out and that the U.S.'s new wave, along with new project developments in other countries, would push the market deeply into oversupply. On that note, Phase 2 of the LNG Canada project received its limited notice to proceed on June 1, an indication that it is working toward FID in the coming months. We cautioned that even with a potential oversupply on the horizon, the U.S. had likely not seen the last FID. Developers have been pushing aggressively to get their projects greenlit, and there were, at the time, still 5 additional projects that appeared to be circling closer to FID. At the end of last year, Energy Transfer suspended development on Lake Charles LNG, taking the number of projects left down to 4. The project had commitments for more than 3/4 of its capacity but was having trouble securing equity investors. While at the time it did have all its regulatory approvals, the project was likely a casualty of the Department of Energy's DOE shifting policies around LNG export authorizations and the pause in new authorizations during the Biden administration. The project was denied a permit extension prior to the pause, then was forced to refile and was still waiting for a new permit when the pause began. See Take 5 and How Do You Like Me Now? While some said that was the beginning of the end, it turned out to be more of a fluke as Venture Global took FID on CP2 Phase 2 in March, and Coterra's, formerly Kimmeridge Texas Gas, took FID on Commonwealth LNG in May, followed by Delfin Midstream's Delfin FLNG 1 in June. We'll dive deeper into Delfin's development in part 2 of this blog series, but its FID was somewhat of a surprise as the project, the U.S.'s first floating LNG facility, had been delayed by a pipeline explosion near Johnson Bayou. With Delfin pushing past the delay and Commonwealth moving forward, that leaves only one of those 5 near-FID projects remaining, Glenfarne's Texas LNG, a small single-train terminal located in South Texas. The project has all its regulatory approvals and is fully commercialized, meaning it could realistically take FID any day. That isn't to say we think it will be the last U.S. project to move forward. Instead, we expect there will be a bit of a lull as the projects remaining with good momentum to move forward await pending regulatory approvals from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, and DOE. Both Cheniere and Venture Global have projects under FERC review, and both companies are vocally confident in future build-out, but these will be announcements for 2027 or 2028, not this year given where things are on the regulatory front. See Greenlight for more on how LNG projects get to FID. Cheniere is in fact so confident in its next project, Train 7 at Sabine Pass, that it issued a limited notice to proceed, LNTP, to begin early construction work, despite not yet having its regulatory approvals. This project is almost certainly going to move forward, barring a regulatory issue, but the timing will be dependent on moving through the FERC approval process. It received its draft environmental impact statement, DEIS, in April and is awaiting its final environmental impact statement, FEIS. Cheniere has said it expects its final authorization by the end of the year, which is achievable without any FERC delays. Cheniere then expects to move forward with Train 7 in early 2027. Back to Commonwealth LNG, which is a 6-train, 9.5 million tons per annum, 1.3 BCF per day, export terminal that will be located in Cameron Parish, Louisiana. Like Lake Charles and CP2, the project was also tied up in the DOE permitting pause, then was the first project to be granted a non-free trade agreement, non-FTA, permit after the Biden-era pause ended. It received a conditional permit in February 2025 and its final authorization last August. Prior to its conditional permit, Commonwealth had no firm long-term off-takers, but then it went on a sprint, securing 8 million tons per annum, 1.1 BCF per day, of its capacity in long-term deals about a year ahead of taking FID. The project will sell its LNG free on board, FOB, through 20-year offtake agreements, the most common way U.S. LNG is sold, to Petronas, Glencore, Mercuria, Saudi Aramco and U.S. gas producer EQT Corporation, as shown in Figure 2 of the blog. The project is majority owned by Qatarus, which will operate the LNG terminal, with Mubadala Energy, an Abu Dhabi-based wealth fund, as an equity partner with a 24.1% stake. Canada Pension Plan Investment Board is also contributing financing to the project and now holds a 31% stake in Qatarus. Qatarus is positioning itself as an integrated natural gas and LNG company, producing gas and planning to export it via Commonwealth LNG. The company has more than 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas equivalent per day of net production in Texas, primarily in the Eagle Ford and Austin Chalk formations, including the Galvin Ranch assets in South Texas it purchased from SM Energy earlier this year. Although the assets are not directly connected via pipeline to the LNG export terminal, Qatarus is operating with a wellhead-to-water strategy, tying its upstream production to its LNG export development. As part of the LNG project, Qatarus will build a 3-mile, 42-inch diameter header pipeline. The Commonwealth LNG pipeline will be able to transport 1.44 BCF per day of feed gas to the terminal from interconnects with the Bridgeline and Kinetica pipelines. The header pipeline is slated to come online in 2029 ahead of the project's commissioning, and Qatarus has said it expects operations at the terminal to commence in 2030. This puts Commonwealth LNG right in the middle of the slew of projects that have taken FID in the past year or so. As we said earlier, these projects will push U.S. LNG export capacity to around 33 BCF per day in the early 2030s. Currently, the last few trains of Corpus Christi Stage 3 and the first train at Golden Pass LNG are ramping online. Stage 3 will be fully operational by the end of the year and Golden Pass will bring on trains 2 and 3 over the next year to 18 months. LNG export capacity will also grow in 2027 as Venture Global CP2, which uses the same quick-build modular technology the company has used for its other terminals, will begin to commission along with first trains at Rio Grande LNG and Port Arthur LNG. Port Arthur and Rio Grande will continue ramping online from there with the later trains commissioning into early next decade. Louisiana LNG, Commonwealth LNG and Delfin will also start operating in that time frame. As we said earlier, we'll be diving into the project specifics and the development plan for Delfin in the next blog in this series. The development of new LNG capacity is a slow process. There is little that can be done in the short term to offset the global LNG supply cuts caused by the war in Iran. But the conflict, just like the war in Ukraine before it, is likely to push more customers to US LNG for energy security. And more US LNG supply is certainly coming, impacting not only global markets but US demand for gas. Note that LNG terminals have losses and the call on US gas supplies for terminal feed gas may well approach 36 BCF per day. U.S. natural gas prices have been insulated from the run-up in oil and global gas prices the past few months, but exposure to the global market is growing. The additional resource needed to supply the new LNG terminals may well put upward pressure on U.S. gas prices. Count Me In was written by Glenn D. Harden and appears as the first song on side one of Gary Lewis and the Playboys' second studio album, A Session with Gary Lewis and the Playboys. The song is an upbeat tune about loyalty, love, and being supportive. Released as a single in March 1965, it went to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart and has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. Personnel on the record were Gary Lewis, lead vocals, Ron Hicklin, ghost lead vocals, Doubling Lewis, Tommy Alsup, guitar, Carol Kay bass, Hal Blaine, drums, and Leon Russell, piano, organ, celeste. The single was arranged by Leon Russell and produced by Snuff Garrett. A Session with Gary Lewis and the Playboys was recorded in early 1965 at United/Western Recorders in Hollywood and produced by Snuff Garrett. Released in August 1965, it went to number 18 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. Two charting singles were released from the LP. Gary Lewis and the Playboys were a 1960s pop-rock group fronted by comedian Jerry Lewis' son, Gary. They got discovered while they were the house band at Disneyland. They had a fresh scrubbed, boy-next-door image similar to Britpop groups like Herman's Hermits and Freddie and the Dreamers. Producer Snuff Garrett helped the group secure a record deal with Liberty Records in Hollywood. They released 13 studio albums, 1 live album, 4 compilation albums and 25 singles. As a side note, Gary Lewis and the Playboys bassist, Carl Radel, went on to play with Delaney and Bonnie, Mad Dogs and Englishmen, Derek and the Dominoes, Leon Russell, and Eric Clapton, before dying in Tulsa in May 1980 at 37. Gary Lewis and the Playboys officially broke up in 1970. 12 members have passed through the band since its formation. Lewis still makes appearances with a touring band called Gary Lewis and the Playboys. At 80, he and his family reside in Rush, New York.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.